Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40. We're lighting up the fire for some attorneys to barbecue across this next hour. A little bit of ringing fire coming in to set the mood for the show today. For my first-time listeners, I am not an attorney. I don't provide you any legal advice or legal opinions. The information that I'm going to be sharing with you across this next hour has been developed from my own personal experiences firsthand at trying to defend myself from being raped, looted, and pillaged by a group of good old boy attorneys and judges located here in Monterey, California. Now, because I'm not an attorney, that doesn't mean that I don't have something to tell you that's going to stop you from getting blasted and torn up by an attorney sometime in the future. In fact, the things I'm going to share with you, no other attorney will tell you. And the reason why is because it's all a big racket out there. If you think our justice system is working right, you are sorely mistaken. Dennis Prager, who hosts another radio program on KRLA Smart Talk, was saying about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that the judicial system, the legal system, is now our enemy, and that he feared terrorism from attorneys in the United States, being the judicial system, far more than Islamic terrorism. I appreciate Dennis mentioning that. I just said that about 3 days before on my own radio program. Maybe his producers were listening. I hope so. I believe there's a lot of talk shows listening to what I'm talking about on my radio program here. I've been having individuals call me and tell me, do you realize that such and such is mimicking your show? Do you realize that such and such is taking your material? Yeah, I realize it. Most of those shows that you maybe been hearing talking about judicial corruption nowadays have given me a call. Bill O'Reilly called my offices, his staff, about 5 weeks ago regarding information on the Westerfield case. We gave him information. They were planning on having me on the show, but at the last moment, they decided to have the attorney, Mr. Pfingst, who was the district attorney that prosecuted the case against the other attorneys, on the show instead. Why is that? Well, I guess it's a judgment call. I guess people sitting in their cars or sitting in their homes think that, well, the only time you're going to get some good information about attorneys is if you talk to an attorney. Don't be fooled. The attorneys aren't going to tell you what they're doing to you. It's all a big racket, and it's a big, big charade. It's far worse here in the United States, the propaganda that's being shoved down our throats day in and day out by these ridiculous programs called Law and Order on television. And look at all the new ones coming out about these law firms. They glorify these individuals. They glorify them. Why? Because they're supposed to be handling something that's so sacred to us, our laws. This is where we go when we have a problem. This is what we've been told since we were children. What disgusts me, I think, the very most is right now we have soldiers over in Iraq getting killed. And I think that their lives right now are being absolutely wasted. Because if they think they're over there protecting America and preserving our liberties, they're wrong. Because they're going to get back here one day, and as they grow older from being these young soldiers, and they encounter an attorney one day that rapes and pillages and steals from them, they're going to be wondering, is this what they were over there risking their lives for? I support our troops in Iraq. What I don't support is the American judicial system here inside of our country right now. We have judges and attorneys all throughout the country doing things they should not be doing. And the damnedest thing about all this, that the attorneys sitting all around us, those individuals you might think are your friends that you might be socializing with, they damn well know it. Ask them. Ask an attorney that you might have as a friend what he thinks of the judicial system. And look at him with a slanted eye if he tells you, well, you know, there are some flaws in it, but still the greatest legal system in the world. Says who? Says the attorney that's charging you $200 an hour? Now, of course, mainstream media, they don't talk about this stuff. Why is it? Well, first of all, mainstream media has on their staff these things called, yes, attorneys. And attorneys do not want to say anything bad about another attorney? Because my God, first of all, it's breaking this oath that they have. It's an oath similar to what doctors had many years ago. Do you remember when doctors would not testify against other doctors in a malpractice case? And there's a big hubbub about that? This is what's happening today. And I'm going to be talking about a story out of Ohio about a woman that actually went ahead and got lambasted by several attorneys. And the attorney that she ultimately got to sue another attorney dismissed the case at the last minute because he could not get an expert witness to testify about the wrongdoing of the other attorney. It's a scam. It's a sham. Break them up like a huge monopoly. Take them apart. Don't let them be in existence. They have no right to be self-regulated. They're a bunch of dirt bags. Now, on our program today, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about, yes, the Stephen Magritz case for my regular listeners who are going to be getting an update on that. But my first-time listeners, this is Stephen Magritz. It's a man that was out in Wisconsin. He's in jail right now. He had a piece of property, 60 acres along the Milwaukee River, that was foreclosed upon by the county attorney of Osage County. And what Mr. Magritz had told everyone inside of that county, being the county board of supervisors, via registered letter, return receipt, certified mail, that the attorney handling the matter, Dennis Keneally, the corporate counsel for Osage County, had removed clerk of court files from the clerk of court's offices and removed his answer to the foreclosure proceedings, which caused his property to be foreclosed upon. And once that was done, there was nothing that Mr. Magritz could do to get back that piece of property. Now, that property was worth somewhere around $600,000, and Mr. Magritz owned $30,000 in back taxes. Now, you would think that the county would sell that at some type of open foreclosure sale, and if the property sold for, let's say, $500,000, Mr. Magritz would have got back $470,000, get it? You know, pay the $30,000 in taxes, get your other $470,000 back. But no, Osage County supervisors had a much better idea. They decided that since this foreclosure took place and Mr. Magritz didn't have any say over this property whatsoever at all now, they thought that maybe they had just turned it into a park. Well, wasn't that nice of them? Very gratuitous of them. And you say to yourself, well, wait a second. These are government officials. They're county officials. Are they really working against a citizen there? I mean, they are supposed to serve the people. Let's look at the type of people that go into government work. You remember those kids in school that we went to school with that if they happen to become, let's say, oh, the class monitor is a good example. They all of a sudden think that they're right next to God. They're right next to the teacher. And they now have a higher position than you inside of that classroom. And they were going to go ahead and make sure that they showed you that they had that authority to do what they want to do over the top of you. I truly believe that most government officials that go into offices have inferiority complexes. And what they're looking for is they're looking for somebody to give them just a little bit more power. It's what some people call the blue syndrome, such as when a man becomes a police officer, a man in blue, that simply wanted to have something a little bit extra that he thought he could hold over the top of somebody else, some authority, something that was backing him up. The government was backing him up. Right or wrong, if you're with the government, they will do whatever in the hell they want to do to you. So now we come back to this Mr. Magritz out in Wisconsin and how the government officials, the Osage County officials there, decided that it'd be much better instead of selling this piece of property at a foreclosure sale, just turn it into a park. It'll be for the betterment of all the people out there. You can all sit out there and go eat your lunches. When that happened, Mr. Magritz kept on asking the county supervisors via the certified letters and return receipt requests to have a matter investigated. And the matter he wanted investigated was why were those files let out of the clerk of court's offices to the opposing counsel, that was Mr. Dennis Keneally, who then had the ability to remove his answer to the complaint and take a default judgment. That is illegal. That's called obstruction of justice. Now, the local newspapers there in Osage County have not said one word about this. And when I was told about this matter back in December of this last year, I started an investigation myself. And I talked to Dennis Keneally, the corporate counsel, and I asked him, were the files ever missing from the clerk of court's offices, and were they at your office? The answer to that was, no, the files are always at the clerk of court's offices, but when they are here, they only pass through for a day or so. Well, when I got him in that recording and stating that, I then contacted a number of officials in Osaki County trying to push forward with an investigation. I wasn't trying to find Mr. Keneally guilty. That's not my job here at AttorneyBusters.com. My job, as I see it, is trying to stand up across the country and let everybody know about the judicial corruption that is taking place, and doing it in a way that's kind of informative for you and warning you of the problems that we have out there with the judicial system. It's not for me to go out and arrest Mr. Dennis Keneally. It's simply to try to bring it out to the public's awareness. When I tried to do that, and I was patient about this, I went about 2.5-3 months. I have the district attorneys out there in Osaki County tell me that they would have to say that it was phone harassment if I continued to call them to ask them what had to be done about getting this investigation put together. And the reason why they said it was phone harassment was because I kept on getting sent back to them to give them a call after another man out there who was supposedly this Dennis Keneally's boss was not conducting the investigation. His boss was a man by the name of Sandy Gus Worth. And in the program today, I'm going to be playing for you an interview that I did with a man by the name of Dan Benson, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and what I told him about that story and why they haven't done a damn thing about it. Stay tuned. Gene Forty, AttorneyBusters.com, and we're going to build a ring of fire around these attorneys and torch them. Right back. This
AttorneyBusters.com's radio program was created by Gene Forty to expose judicial corruption. We at AttorneyBusters.com believe that we are all entitled to fairness in our courts and from the officers of the court, including judges and attorneys. If you agree with us or enjoy our program, please help us continue to pay for our airtime by placing a complaint on our databases ranging from $3.95, that's $3.95, to $8.95, depending on the database you select. Add your attorney to the barrel, the rat trap, the stockade, or the lineup. Complaints on the state bar are on a database called the cobweb, or you may simply enter something you've heard about an attorney on our I've Been Told database for $3.95. Your name is not included on these databases. Our website also allows for contributions. Any amount is greatly appreciated and will help to keep us on the air. Please support us. You may email to Gene, G-E-N-E, at AttorneyBusters.com.
Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene Forte, and we do stream live on the web at KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. Or go directly to our website, AttorneyBusters.com. Click on the link there. Tell your friends across the country about this. Let them know that there's somebody out there trying to make a difference here. And we're trying to make it known to all the country and all the nation about the judicial nonsense and hijinks that's going on right now. Before the break, I was talking about Sandy Gus Worth. He is the county supervisor in Osaki County that supposedly conducted a verbal investigation of the matter of these clerk of court files leaving the office mysteriously of a clerk of a court, which caused Mr. Magritz to have a improper default judgment entered against him, which was ignored by everybody. Now, I contacted the local press in Osaki County, and I told them about the recordings I had with Mr. Dennis Keneally telling me that the clerk of court files were at his office. I then contacted the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and told them the same story. Both of these newspapers on a regular basis were writing about the Magritz case, and they're writing about how he was a paper terrorist and he had done all these bad things. They never breathed one word about the incident of Mr. Magritz saying that these clerk of court files had disappeared. I talked to Dan Benson, a writer with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which is about the equivalency of a Los Angeles Times. It's a number one newspaper in Wisconsin. And Dan Benson had contacted me back in about March and told me that he had a copy of a letter that I had sent to the Victim Witness Assistance Program at the DA's office. And he wanted to know how this letter got over to these county supervisors. I'm going to play the conversation that I have Dan Benson, the reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Journal Sentinel, this is Dan Benson.
Good afternoon, Dan.
Yeah.
This is Gene 40 calling.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for getting back to me.
Oh, no problem.
The letter that you had written to Beth Hodorowski about Dennis Keneally recently, I guess it was copies of that were sent to board members by Robert Brown, or were they sent to them by you? I wasn't clear about that.
No, I didn't send anything to any
supervisors. Okay.
Supervisors, and who is Robert Brown? Is he the person that's with the
Christian
group
Civil
called
Union.
Christian Civil Liberties Union?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't talked to him for probably about at least a month and a half or something like that, or 2 months. So I interviewed him once for the program.
Okay. Well, anyway, he sent copies to all the supervisors. So at the end of the county board had their meeting today. And at the end, they sort of like, they all erupted. You know, what's with the letter that we're getting? You know, they didn't know what was going on.
Okay, so now Dan Benson calls and tells me specifically that he wants to know if I was the one that sent a letter to these 36 county supervisors. Well, I didn't. And you're going to find out that Dan Benson also knew that I didn't send that letter to the supervisors, because he had in his hand a cover letter from this Robert Brown that it was attached to this letter, saying that he was forwarding this letter to all these county supervisors. What really took place at this County Board of Supervisors meeting? Could it be that Sandy Gusworth went up to this Dan Benson afterwards and said, hey, Dan, you know, could you give this Gene 40 a call and let's find out exactly what he's got going on?
And so it came up anyway. So that was one question I had.
Sure.
Do you know why Robert Brown sent them copies? I mean, did you send him a copy of the letter and then so he thought took it on himself to send them copies?
No, I did not send Robert Brown any copies of that letter.
So you don't know how he got a hold of
it? I think, well, I can take a guess for you.
Okay.
I sent a copy of that letter to Mrs. Chekomagritz.
Dan Benson wanted, I think, really desperately to try to tie me in directly to this Robert Brown. The reason why? This Robert Brown has a group out there called the Christian Civil Liberties Union. And apparently he's been raising all kinds of hell with these people in Wisconsin, when I say these people, individuals that are the old pro-choice ones. There's a battle going on between pro-choice and the pro-life individuals. And Dan Benson and the group in Osage County want to try to tie me together with this Christian Civil Liberties Union. I am not part of any Christian Civil Liberties Union. The battle between pro-life and pro-choice is not what I'm addressing. I simply want to focus upon corrupt attorneys and corrupt public officials. Let's go on a little bit farther with this, Dan Benson.
And possibly Chekomagritz, that's Stephen Magritz's wife.
Okay.
Possibly presented that to Mr. Robert Brown.
Let's see. I just had a couple other questions. One is, I looking on your website, I see that one of the topics is a special flash update from Seamus Gusworth, the verbal investigation. Is that a reference to the county board chairman?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, I didn't
know how much
Gusworth there are.
So.
Wait, hold a second. I refer at my website to Seamus Gusworth, W-I-R-T-H. Now, Dan Benson, apparently he's not very much of a rocket scientist, because he's saying, now this reference to Seamus Gusworth, is that Sandy Gusworth? Well, of course it is, Dan.
Dan, here's the thing. When I'm speaking to you, and you can hear the beeping going on,
right.
Is that...
Right, so I could play it on this program today and kind of like give Dan Benson enough rope to hang himself, and I waited, since March is when this conversation took place, to play this for my audience. because I wanted to see if this Dan Benson was really going to do anything. But as he started to reveal himself further, I certainly decided that Dan Benson cannot be trusted.
I will tell you that I've been looking into this matter now since about December when somebody gave me a call on this matter from that area. And if I was you fellas out there, I would be all over this story because it's absolutely the most astounding thing when you really look into it and find out the things that I found out. I mean, I have the recordings of Mr. Wirth just from last night, an hour and 28-minute conversation.
And many of my listeners have tuned into the program, have heard that conversation with Sandy Gus Wirth. This is where he says that he would immune himself if he was in charge of a law, that he was going to have the license of KRLA jerked, that we are in violations of FCC rules and regulations, that our signal was not strong enough. You got to listen to this. If you haven't heard it before, you ought to go to the website. There's some CDs there. Get one of them. Purchase. Help us. If this is ridiculous about this Sandy Gus Wirth, let's go on.
If you were to listen to this conversation, you would fall off your chair. You really would. I swear to God. They realize and they know that files have left that clerk court's offices through the hands of Mr. Jeff Schmidt, the clerk there, to Mr. Keneally.
And we have this Dan Benson. I'm telling him, we've got a major story here. If I was you guys, I'd be all over this. Dan Benson. Does that sound like an investigative reporter? I imagine if you were to go to Dan Benson and tell him something regarding a bunch of individuals breaking into a hotel room and stealing files and all of this stuff, something similar to Watergate, he'd say, well, you know, that. So what's this real story here? Can't we have a real story?
They go everywhere from Mr. Worth saying that there's no laws prohibiting that, and that Mr. Schmidt can make up his own rules regarding that, and if there's a law broken, you have to go to the DA's. Well, I'm telling you, I traveled the same path that this Makritz did in trying to get this matter, you know, looked at and investigated upon, and I'll tell you, there is a huge cover-up that's taking place there in Ozaukee regarding these clerk of court files and what happened. And please understand, I told this Mr. Wirth, I do not condone the issue of Mr. Makritz being a sovereign citizen and all this and you know, not paying taxes. That's not where I'm coming from on this matter at all. But I will tell you certainly that when he tried to get a matter addressed regarding the missing documents from this file, this is when Mr. Keneally started to put together this campaign of declaring him a paper terrorist. And
I'm trying to keep it simple, stupid with Dan Benson at telling him there is a cover-up taking place in Ozaukee County. Now, Mr. Benson, this letter he had in his hands, that was a letter that I sent to Ms. Beth Hodorowski, who is with the Victim Witness and Assistance Program. And that letter clearly lays out, again, all the things I was telling Dan Benson about what Sandy Gus Wirth and Dennis Keneally had done. In addition, what it was really highlighting was that when I attempted to report this stuff to the DAs there and got batted like a ping pong ball between Sandy Gus Wirth and the DA's office there said they were going to have to say it was phone harassment. So I was asking Beth Hodorowski for some protection and help here, and she was ignoring it. So Mr. Benson knew an awful lot during this interview, and he didn't say anything else, and wait till you hear the rest of this. And when we come back, I'm going to play the conversation, my part of it, but I did it from this week. Dan, shame on you. Go get your reporter's license for some local cowpoke paper. Ring of fire. This ring of fire around Dan Benson.
AttorneyBusters.com's radio program was created by Gene Forti to expose judicial corruption. We at AttorneyBusters.com believe that we are all entitled to fairness in our courts and from the officers of the court, including judges and attorneys. If you agree with us or enjoy our program, please help us continue to pay for our airtime by sending a contribution to 316 Mid Valley Center, number 179. Carmel, California, 93923, or call us at 888-211-6035. Again, 316 Mid-Valley Center, number 179, Carmel, California, 93923, or call us at 888-211-6035. 201-611-6035. Or you can make a contribution through our website, attorneybusters.com. Any amount is greatly appreciated and will help to keep us on the air. Please support us.
These are the sounds of today's kids, and these are the voices.
Don't underestimate me. I can work harder in school.
When I solve a tough problem, I'm on top of the world.
Surprised? 75% of kids say they'd study harder if their schools gave them tougher tests.
I'm not afraid to fail.
I can learn from my mistakes.
The fact is, almost all kids want to be challenged in school.
Challenge me.
Challenge me.
Do your part. For a free booklet on how you can support higher academic achievement, call 1-800-38-BE-SMART and challenge our schools to challenge our kids. A message from the Ad Council and the Education Excellence Partnership.
He walks in the treetop all day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song.
All the little birdies on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet.
Rockin' Robin, let it blow, Rockin' Robin. Blow, 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 Rockin' Robin, cause you're really gonna rock tonight, night, 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 night. Every little swallow, every chicken feet.
There's nothing wrong with reusing good material. So the next time you go shopping, buy stuff you can reuse. You create less waste, reduce pollution, and save energy and resources. Not to mention, come off sounding very cool. Buy smart, waste less, save more.
For more information, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Save a place for me. Save a space for me. In your heart.
Every year, the United Negro College Fund helps thousands of students go to college. But for everyone we help, there's one we can't. Not without the funds.
Save a place for me.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Save a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Call 1-800-332-UNCF.
A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. And we also stream live on the web at KRLA 870 AM or go to our website, AttorneyBusters.com. Tell your friends about us, and they can hear us all across the country. We also broadcast the courtesy of Radio National Network and a program called The Last Roundup on WBCQ Shortwave. Hello, the rest of the world. Back to the conversation that I was having with Dan Benson, a reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And this is a conversation that I had in March of this year. And I'm playing this conversation today because I gave this man enough rope to hang himself. And the conversation that I had with him this week, which I'm going to update you on after I finish this playing of this conversation in March, ought to go ahead and get you to raise your eyebrows quite a bit. This is Dan Benson again.
Smutting and smearing him the best he could. And I have all the proof to show it. It's not from my own words. These are from Mr. Keneally's words of him stating that he had had the clerk of court office files over to his office. You see, what happened was, are you familiar what really happened in this matter or what Makers has been alleging from the very beginning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are?
Yeah.
He says, yeah, he is aware of it, but you know what? He has not printed one word about it. This man is aware that there are missing files that have been removed from the offices there at the clerk of courts, which caused Mr. Magwitz to have his property foreclosed upon. And when he tried to pay his taxes, they would not accept his money any longer. Because they said, oh, sorry, Charlie, we've got your property now, so go jump in the lake.
I'm not going to, just to be honest with you, I'm not going to refight the battle in this article. I'm just going to write a story. I'm going to state your position, but I'm just writing a shorter story just on that. This is still a running issue.
Oh yes,
but I'm not going to. I don't want to. We just don't have the space for tomorrow for what I'm doing.
Sure.
To go into a complete back and forth here. So.
Well, okay. Well, let me summarize for you. This is that this battle had never been raised or brought up to anybody before, and the.
See, I'm making it very clear to this Dan Benson. He says, oh, I'm not going to fight this battle again. I'm not going to raise all these issues. He never brought up any of these issues at all regarding Mr. Magwitz. It's a lie. But he's saying, well, I don't want to get involved in all this. I will state your position. Let me tell you this. The article that Dan Benson wrote after this interview was slanted, and he still tried to connect me to Robert Brown, and he also still tried to connect me as a supporter of a, quote, tax protester. And let me clarify, Mr. Magris was raising questions about the taxes that he was paying on his property. He did want to pay the taxes. When they foreclosed him, it prevented him from being able to do so.
Real story, I think, for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is how this ties into James Doyle's Attorney General's office and a lawsuit that was filed by Catherine Doyle against WVCY in about 1998.
Now, this is the real story, folks. There was a huge battle going on between the pro-lifers and pro-choice individuals over there in Wisconsin. And who was the biggest proponent of the pro-choice individuals and the abortion clinics? It was James Doyle, who is now the governor of the state, but at the time was the attorney general. And his sister, Catherine Doyle, was the attorney for a group of abortion clinics. And what had happened was that Catherine Doyle was accused of kicking a 7-year-old girl in the face while she was down kneeling praying in front of an abortion clinic, believe it or not. And I will tell you that I did speak to the father of the little girl that was, quote, allegedly kicked in the face. And when I use that word allegedly, they tried to bring charges against Catherine Doyle. But for some funny reason, the district attorneys out there just decided there wasn't enough credible evidence. All they had was 7 little girls, about 8 and 9 years old, saying the exact same story that this had happened. But their testimony couldn't stand up to the testimony of 4 or 5 attorneys representing Miss Catherine Doyle. Wonder what happened, Well, it just so happened also that James Doyle received millions of dollars in campaign contributions from the abortion clinics. Gee, I wonder why. In addition to that, he was voted pro-choice advocate of the year in Wisconsin. Now, how does this tie together with Mr. Magritz? I told Dan Benson how this tied together with Mr. Magritz. Follow me for one moment. Just take this as a possibility. Suppose an if James Doyle, the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, used his powers inside of his offices to unleash the Attorney General's office upon Steve Magritz because Steve Magritz was subpoenaed as a witness in the case of Catherine Doyle versus WVCY, a radio station in Milwaukee. And we have proof of that. We have a copy of the subpoena of Mr. Stephen Magritz as a witness inside of that case. And that took place over a year before Mr. Magritz ever appeared supposedly on this radar screen of the Attorney General's offices for not paying taxes and being a paper terrorist. And my listeners that have been following the Magritz story know that I also interviewed the prosecuting Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Roy Corte. And I asked Mr. Roy Corte if he had ever heard of Mr. Magritz before, and he said, no, not really. I asked him if he was aware of the lawsuit that was filed by Catherine Doyle versus WVCY. And his response was, I think I vaguely heard something about that. And there might have even been a settlement in that case. What Mr. Corte didn't want to tell me, and which I have in my hands right now and I'm looking at, is a document that was filed with the Criminal Justice Department in Wisconsin with the stamp of Mr. Roy Corte on there regarding specifically the subpoena of Stephen Magritz in the case of Catherine Doyle, the sister to James Doyle, in the case of her against WVCY. Does it stink to anybody yet? Of course it does. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel knows all about this. And they have not said one word about it. I wonder why. Not newsworthy enough for them? Or is it just going to put a bunch of people in jail? That's where we're at. And they all had their fall about ready to take place because they just got stupid, arrogant, and greedy, and they thought they're going to slide this by everybody. AttorneyBusters.com isn't going to let it happen. Let's go on with this Mr. Dan Benson, the beacon of truth for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What a fraud.
this is where it really comes to, that Mr. Cordy and the Attorney General's office are not being truthful with people when they told me that they didn't know this Mr. Magritz. He was under subpoena by Catherine Doyle, that's the sister of James Doyle, for this lawsuit of this Catherine Doyle versus WBCY. There's something very, very wrong here, and if you guys look into it, and I've got the tape recordings, you're welcome to them. If you see these things, you're going to be astounded.
Okay. As far as on Sunday's show, so you're going to...
Wait a second. I just told this guy. Do you realize the connection between the governor of your state and what's happened in this case? And what does he say? He sounds like a fool. You know, I'm going to send a copy of this program to Dan Benson. Hey, Dan, how long do you think my ears are? Do you think I'm some kind of donkey or jackass? Do you think I was really buying into what you were trying to do to me? You shouldn't be a reporter, Dan. You ought to be implicated in the cover-up of a crime out there in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin. And your whole newspaper ought to be taken apart and thrown out in front of the public so they can see what kind of a trash paper you people really are. You're not reporting. You are a spin machine, and a very corrupt spin machine right now. Get ready.
With Gus last night.
Yes.
And or with Sandy, and your that's going to be the featured topic of your show on Sunday. Is that right?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Oh, a portion of it. I'm probably about maybe 20 minutes of it.
Okay.
Now, did you catch that? Dan Benson goes. Well, now you had a conversation with Gus, old Sandy last night. It sounds like I can just see them with their arms around each other. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Gus. How you guys doing? They're buddies. They're buddies.
I'm going to be covering the quote, this is, can you, the verbal investigation conducted by Sandy Gus Worth, where he verified that files had not been taken by talking to Dennis Keneally and Jeff Schmidt.
Okay.
The two guys that were saying are guilty of the problem.
Yeah, okay. That was the extent of his investigation. That's your point. His quote investigation.
His quote investigation, in addition to all he kept on trying to say was, if you get a chance, I mean, if you guys have the time, you guys can stream the show live on Sunday, and you can hear the clips. I play the actual conversation.
You get it off of your website, or you have a link there to KRLA.
And what was kind of like, you know, really astounding to me is that when I'm talking to Sandy Gus Worth yesterday, he's telling me that attorneybusters.com is a website located in the town of Oregon, I own it from the town of Oregon, and also the KRLA was in violation of the FCC rules in that we weren't a full station over in Los Angeles, and we're like the number two station in LA. I mean, these statements that's coming from Mr. Worth are exactly the type of things that Mr. Makers was talking about, how they mount this smut and smear campaign. It's really pretty incredible. There's some real problems there.
Now, you've told me a little bit about why this is important to you, but one can't help but wonder, you know, you're in California, Magritz is in southeast Wisconsin. Why the great interests? Are there not other, you know, issues going on around the country, or why?
I'm
so interested in the Magritz issue.
Well,
gee, I wonder why, Dan. A listener calls me and tells me a man is being sentenced to 70 years in prison. I start to investigate it, and I find out that this corruption that's taking place goes right up to the governor's office. Why in the hell shouldn't I be interested in the story in Wisconsin, Dan? Because there's people out there like you, Dan, that are not reporting accurately. And it's not even that you're not reporting accurately. You are not reporting both sides of the story. You are not giving your readers the opportunity at least to question what took place regarding these clerk of court files being missing. If those clerk of court files were taken by Mr. Keneally and an answer was removed from that file, which caused them to take an illegal foreclosure proceeding to the limits and take this man's property away. And then when he tried to point it out to the officials that are supposed to protect him against this, they get him put in jail. What the hell do you think, Dan, would be more of a worthy story to put out? You want me to cover a cat being corralled up inside of a tree or something? Is that what you do? Boy, Dan, I bet you never thought that this was going to be played on a radio program, did you? Are you thinking about suing me? Are you going to get those attorneys that are on your staff at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to start threatening me and trying to pound me? Well, go ahead. Let's see if we can make that national news. Let's go further.
I'll tell you specifically why. Is that my radio program that comes out on KRLA centers specifically around the promotion of judicial responsibilities and ethics by attorneys and judges and by county officials. Mm-hmm. When an individual contacted my radio program, I do what I call, my program, the segment is called Info Justice, where someone called me, told me about the problem. I investigated it, and when I started to investigate it, it came deeper and deeper and deeper about these glaring problems that these people had done out there in Osage County. So when I started doing the interviews with people out there, this truly piqued my interest. Because I truly believe that what has happened there in Osage County happens many different places across the country. And it ties very well into what happened in New Jersey last week. Christopher J. Christie, who's a prosecutor out there from the federal department, about all these politicians he's rounding up and arresting right now. Well, former federal judge says, well, you know, the problem in New Jersey, it's no worse in New Jersey than it anywhere else in the United States. So why Wisconsin? Well, I'm in Wisconsin right now because somebody called me, told me about it. I looked into the matter, and when I looked into the matter, none of it made sense, and I uncovered what I believe truly that Mr. Magritz truly is a witness to a crime, and now he's become a victim by the people he tried to hold accountable there. So that's why I'm interested in Wisconsin. I have other issues going on in different parts of the country, but this right now is my focus.
Okay. You were at his sentence hearing in Madison?
No, I was not.
You were not? Oh, okay.
I sent a letter. What I did was that the...
We had a story saying that you were there distributing the letter, but that wasn't you then.
No.
Dan Benson is just trying to do everything he possibly can to somehow try to link me together as being the staunch Magritte supporter. Listeners, I have not supported the idea of Mr. Magritte, or anyone for that matter, filing fraudulent liens against anyone. What I do understand, though, is that Mr. Magritte felt that his rights had been violated by these county officials. And therefore, when he could not get anyone else to address this, the government and the officials that are supposed to do this, he filed these liens as his last resort to draw attention to the matter. And it did get their attention, to the point they dropped a dime on him, according to Bill Shannon of the Osage Press, and they called him a paper terrorist. It can happen to every one of us out here today when you have a problem with a public official now. They will put you in jail. It is Russia. But they keep on trying to tie me together as being, quote, a Magritte supporter. What I am is an individual that is trying to expose a crime that I believe may have been committed by a county attorney, which caused a man to get put in jail under the guise of the U.S. Patriot Act. That is what I'm trying to support.
Okay. No, what happened was is that I had sent that letter, again, to a copy to Jacob Magritte, and one directly to, I think it was Judge Faust is the individual there.
Uh-huh.
And Judge Faust apparently made that part of a sentencing record.
Oh, okay. I see. All right, well, I'll make sure we get that straight this time. So.
Okay.
No, he did not. He did not. The article, you can go to our website on attorneybusters.com, and we'll put a link there for you so you can click on the article that this Dan Benson wrote. The article that Dan Benson wrote did not mention anything about me not being present at this sentencing hearing. It didn't clarify anything for anybody. What he tried to do was he tried again to say that I was a supporter of a tax protester. He also went farther in stating that Mr. Magritte was a cause celeb on our website and we're selling CDs. We have not sold, I think, maybe a dozen CDs regarding Mr. Magwitz, but we've given away hundreds free.
I think that's all the questions I had then.
Well, if you have any, I really appreciate you giving me a call and talking to me about it.
Sure.
Okay.
And if I'm, I'll try to remember and be by a radio and or be on the internet anyway and listen to the show on Sunday afternoon. Let's see, that's at 3 o'clock Pacific time, so if you want to... 5 o'clock our time.
I did appreciate this Dan Benson giving me a call at that time because I was hopeful that he was going to report something accurately and bring out a side of a story that had not been heard. And that's what happens to all of us. We go to somebody and we try to treat them fairly up front. We give them the benefit of a doubt. And in this situation, we can certainly see that I did give this Dan Benson the benefit of the doubt. I was telling him everything that I knew. But he was not being honest with me.
You know, you have absolutely provided a key here to a mystery, because when I talked to Sandy Gusworth yesterday, he said, he goes, well, you sent this letter to all, you sent letters to all these county boards of supervisors, you've called everybody. I said, no, I said, I've not sent any letters to any county board of supervisors. I said, do you have a copy of that letter or the letters? He goes, well, it's here someplace. I think I'm going to be taken up at the meeting tomorrow. So when you called now I can put the pieces together. It's this letter that I sent to Beth Hodorowski, who was the Victim Witness Assistance Program that somehow got circulated to the county board of supervisors, which...
And there's a cover letter on it from Robert Brown, so he's apparently the one who sent it to... He sent a copy to every... There's, I think, 36 supervisors, so...
Do you mind? Can you tell me what the cover letter says?
Let's see. Enclosed, please find a document. It's addressed to Ozaukee County Board of Supervisors, Stewart County Supervisors. Mm-hmm. Enclosed, please find a document faxed to Ms. Beth A. Hodorowski, Coordinator of the Victim Witness Assistance Program for Ozaukee County Magistrate. 1840 of attorneybusters.com.
Well, gee, Dan, at the very start of the conversation, he was saying he didn't know how this letter got to these county supervisors. He was holding the cover letter from Mr. Robert Brown. He knew specifically before he gave me a call how that letter got to county supervisors. He knew that I did not send it to them, but he just used this as a ruse to give me a call for probably his buddy, Sandy Gusworth. When Dan Benson wrote the article back in March, and it was so miscued, I gave him a call, and I left him, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think it was 5 messages across these last months. He never returned the phone call. I called his editors at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying, hey, wait a second. The things I told you during that interview were specifically concerning the issues of Governor James Doyle. Why aren't you reporting on that? And additionally, I'd never told you that I supported Mr. Magwitz as being a tax protester. And in fact, Mr. Magwitz was not a tax protester, but that's simply another smut and smear deal they've done. So this last week, I called up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel again, and I caught Dan Benson off guard. When he answered the phone, I didn't have my recorders going, and I said, Dan, I said, this is Gene 40 calling. I said, I'm calling because you, number one, have not called me back. He didn't want to talk to me. I said, well, Dan, I said, why haven't you guys written anything about Magwitz's side of the story? You know what he said? Well, you know, I think there's no story there. He goes, the county officials, they just might have been a little bit sloppy at handling some paperwork there. I said, well, wait a second. Sloppy paperwork handling? Files being missing from the court? And you're just going to mark it off to being sloppy paperwork handling? I said, did you listen to the recordings that I sent to your offices of my interview of Sandy Gusworth? I said, did you think he was being honest and credible? Dan Benson tells me, well, he was trying to answer questions, and I admit he really wasn't doing a very good job about it. He was covering up. That's what he was doing, Dan. So Dan decided that he was not going to talk to me longer and hung up the telephone. Well, this last week, I also called a man by the name of Peter Mahler of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's the one that's been covering the story of Mr. James Sensenbrenner, a congressman that submitted a bill in Congress, which was passed, stemming right out of the Magwitz case concerning these filing of these bankruptcy petitions against these poor public officials that were just doing their job. And in that article, they had direct quotes from Mr. Sandy Gus Worth saying that he felt it was a high time that this happened because these county officials had been victimized by Mr. Magritz. We're coming to the end of the show, but let me play a quick clip for you from Mr. Aspenson, who is the editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and my call to him this week.
Eric, is this Eric Aspenson speaking? Yes, Mr. Aspenson, this is Gene 40, calling from attorneybusters.com, a radio program out here in L.A. I called and left a message for you last week. Did you receive that?
I heard it on my voicemail. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, and I'm calling you from, and if you do not want to be recorded, please let me know, but I'm calling you from our production studio.
Right, I don't want to be recorded.
All right. And will you just tell me the reasons why you don't want to be recorded, please? Just for the record.
No, I don't want to even discuss it with you.
Okay. If I call you back on a non-recorded line, will you discuss with me the matter of the articles that your paper's been doing about the Sensenbrenner bill and how it involves the Stephen Magritz case?
No.
And why is that?
I just don't wish to talk to you about it.
Eric Aspenson receives the Jackass of the Year Award. Back to Dan Benson, he told me that maybe it was just sloppy work by the county officials concerning missing files. Listen to what a clerk of the court told me from Osaukee County this week.
I think that's just policy because too many files have disappeared.
Too many files have disappeared. An admission from a clerk at the Osaukee Clerk of the Courts. How many other people have had their property stolen from them by these county officials? There's no way to expose them. And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel knows about this matter, but they're not saying a word. I wonder why, Sandy Gus Worth. Let me move to the next segment. Months ago, I had left a message for Mr. Leon Panetta, the former White House Chief of Staff, who is a resident of Monterey, California, that I wanted to talk to him prior to him giving a Civil Liberties Union Award to the judge that I said had committed a crime by covering up the perjury of local attorneys and then terminating my lawsuit. Didn't get a response back from them. But this last week, I did mention on my program that Mr. Panetta must have been too busy kissing the ass of some judges and attorneys, and I apologize for the ass. Let me play a message I got from Mr. Panetta this week.
Hi, my name is Chris O'Bear, and I'm calling from the office of Leon Panetta. I left a message earlier for Mr. Forty asking if he would be able to speak with Mr. Panetta by telephone, but haven't heard back, so I'm calling to propose another date, and that would be July 10th at 4:30 p.m.
I assure you, attorneybusters.com never received any previous messages from Mr. Panetta's offices. Stay tuned. Have a great 4th of July. Next week, we're going to talk with a Joyce Carter from Columbus, Ohio, who says she'd rather get beat to death by her husband than have to deal with attorneys again in the divorce she went through. Happy 4th of July. America's a great place, and attorneybusters.com, we're going to keep on pounding these guys to make sure that things are okay for us. See ya.